topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you, never let me go. And lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire, no one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you don't believe at this stage the Creator has said regarding you, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? So if you don't believe and you have an expectation that something nice is going to happen to you when you die, I would suggest you rethink that. The Almighty has also said concerning believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? So if you believed at some stage and you're really doing nothing about it, you're not making any effort to straighten out your life, not making any effort to get close to Father, and you have an expectation that when you die something nice, something pleasant is going to happen to you, I would also suggest that you rethink that. If you want to have a really good experience after you die, you need to work for it in this life, and that's what this series is about. So tonight we're going to continue with the series, Where Will You Spend Eternity? We're on to part five. It's based on a book written in early 2004. In presenting this, I would remind you that the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. So tonight, an overview of tonight's program. We will reaffirm that we know so little of the things of the Almighty today. We'll look at some challenging passages from The Final Quest, the book The Final Quest, including we will look at the metaphoric vision of the battle from The Final Quest. We will look at the metaphor of the armor from the same book. We will look at the importance of the mantle of humility. We will look at how we receive prophets, and we will look at how our motives are often corrupted. By way of introduction, my name is James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, spent 25 years in South Africa as a strategic management consultant, been a business executive for the last few years in the United Kingdom. I have over 26 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993. So really sharing with you from deep experience and with this very strongly analytical engineering approach to things. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and shortly through physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message, and I hope that you will take that message on board as we continue with this series. You can see my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. Questions from last week's program. Question one, How close do you feel you are to the Almighty? Well, I believe that I am close to Him. He tells me that I'm very close to Him relative to most people on the planet. I believe I could get much closer to Him, but it's been a pretty difficult walk to get to where I am today, and so I believe I'm not as close as I could be, and I'm not sure that I could get much closer right now. And I believe that it's possible for you to get closer to Him than I am. Question number two, is that fast safe for everyone? I think this is referring to the 7-day water-only fast. I would say it's pretty safe for everyone if you feel that the Almighty is leading you to do it. If you have medical conditions that could be affected by lack of food, then you need to take a doctor's opinion. If you're on medication that you take orally, then I would suggest that you take at least a portion of bread and grape juice before you take the medication. Don't take medication on an empty stomach. But I think if you're careful about it, it should be safe for everyone. When you take the bread and wine, rehearse the covenant or take communion if you like, and I've spoken at length as to how you do that in previous programs. Question number three, can you cleanse a bit at a time? As I've said before, there is no recipe. You can do a bit at a time. Recognize that if you do a little bit at a time, you may not gain very much, and that there will be demonic and satanic interference that will try and take you back. To me, the best way of doing it is just to go all out, as I described a month or two ago, with the 7-day fast, with the complete immersion, with the shaving, with the anointing with oil and anointing with the blood of the covenant. But as I've said before, it's up to each one of us to chart our own course. Question four, when did you start making the change after you spoke? I think that's after the Almighty first spoke to me, immediately. I prayed, asked for forgiveness that night. Well, I phoned this friend of mine, went to see him that night, prayed with him that night, went with him to his church that Sunday, bought a Bible that Sunday, and started actively changing my whole outlook and the way I lived my life. Again, you don't necessarily have to do it that way. It worked for me. I think it's easier to just climb in and really go for it. But it's entirely up to you. You can do it at any stage in your life. I think the more you leave it, the more difficult it becomes. Question five, do we have to be special to get to speak to the Almighty? Absolutely not. He wants to speak to every one of us. He wants to speak to everyone on this planet. He wants to have a deep personal relationship with everyone on this planet. All you've got to do to get to speak to the Almighty is to start speaking to Him and ask Him to help you to hear Him. And it's going to take a bit of practice, it's going to take a bit of time, but if you really want to hear Him, I have absolute confidence that you will. Question six, how are we to know what will bring us closer to the Lord our God? Well, technically that should be Yah, our Mighty One. If you follow what I've been teaching on this radio program for the last 8 or 9 months since October last year, you will find a huge amount of information that will help you to get closer to Father. If you go to the website that I just gave you the reference to, endtimeissueministries.org, you will find a huge amount of material that will help you to get closer to Father. Will divorce be forgiven? Depends on the nature of the divorce. If you divorced willfully a party that was absolutely innocent and had done nothing wrong and was keeping covenant with you, you're going to have to repent and go back to them, if that's possible. Under other circumstances, if you're a believer married to an unbeliever, Father expects you to get divorced. If somebody has really broken covenant with you and treated you badly, then Father will willingly grant you a divorce. Divorce is not so difficult. It's a matter of a clear legal process in the court of heaven. I hope to talk about that in more detail in a month or two. Question number eight, can we let Him to guide us? Absolutely. I pray daily for Father to guide me. And I would strongly recommend that you do the same. If you go back a few months on this program, you'll find detailed prayers asking for guidance. So to pick up on Where Will You Spend Eternity, part five, key conclusion in the last message, we know so little of the things of the Almighty today that there is an enormous amount for us to learn. 2 Corinthians 5:7, that's quoting the Protestant Bible, for we walk by emunah, incorrectly translated faith, not by sight. Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 8, trust in Yah, the eternally self-existing, you might know that as the Lord, with all thine heart, and lean not under thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear Yah, the eternally self-existing, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to their bones, to thy bones. So absolutely key here, drawing close to Father is absolutely paramount if you are to really achieve anything in this life. There is so much that we do not even begin to understand. We cannot figure this out in our own understanding or based on what we see with our natural minds. We can only accomplish anything of worth in this life if we choose to be totally led by the Spirit of the Almighty and do the best we can each day to hear His voice, be led by His Spirit, to seek His guiding hand, etc. The more that we can come to a realization that we can do no good thing in our own strength, the more we are likely to please Him and come to close relationship with Him. Consider Isaiah 64 verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. There's much more that could be written. However, it is hoped that this gives you some indication. Folks, it is so important if you want to accomplish anything of note in this life, anything that will stand up to the test at the end of your life, to be led by Father Spirit. So we're going to look at some challenging passages from the book, The Final Quest. Insofar as many do not consider the book, The Final Quest, by Rick Joyner to have the same authority as the Bible text cited above, I considered it appropriate to cite passages from The Final Quest in a separate section when I originally wrote this book in 2004. Today, if I were to write this again, I regard The Final Quest as having the same standing as the Bible. Both have error. Both are extremely valuable and very important texts. And I would mix the Bible verses up with The Final Quest. In fact, I would quote a lot less from the Bible than I have so far in this program. While I have doctrinal concerns with regard to certain passages in The Final Quest, I've been told by the Almighty that much of what is presented in The Final Quest is based on information given by the Almighty in a series of visions. The Final Quest is therefore a valid and valuable resource from which we can prayerfully increase our understanding of the kingdom of the Almighty, His way of doing things, and that which is still to come, particularly our day of judgment. In the text that follows, various quotes and summaries from The Final Quest are presented in support of the overall thesis of this paper. All quotations and references are from the 1996 printing of The Final Quest by Whitaker House, 30 Hunt Valley Circle, New Kensington, Pennsylvania, 15068. ISBN number 0-88368-478-0. The book is available in many bookstores and over the internet, including at Eagle Star Ministries, the ministry of Rick Joyner, at http://www.eaglestar.org and at amazon.com. It is also available on my website. Look under the main label, Eternity, you'll see The Final Quest. There are many passages in the final quest that deliver hard and challenging messages about the way that we understand the ways of the Almighty. I encourage you to read the final quest, particularly from part 4 onwards. It is preferable, however, to read the entire book, and I would suggest you read the book more than once. I've read my copy numerous times. It's dog-eared, it's got scribbles in the margins, it's got underlining. It's a really important reference work. Numbers of the form 23 bracket 1 are page numbers and paragraph numbers on the page in the edition of the final quest referred to above. I'll give those. It's a bit like Bible verse references, but it'll help you to find your way around if you do have a copy of the final quest. It's probably not going to map exactly, but it'll put you in the right general location. In all quotations, words like God and the Lord have been substituted using the words that I understand to be more pleasing to the Almighty, in accordance with the same conventions used in these teachings thus far. There are varying views of the final quest. I have absolute certainty that Joiner was caught up into heaven, that he was given these visions, that the visions were given by the Almighty. I don't believe he recorded them all accurately. I don't believe he fully understood things, and he distorted things through his own interpretation at times. But fundamentally, the book is very important, and it's a very important reference. And as you will see in the sections that follow, I'm going to quote from it extensively, or reference it extensively. In one of the early visions, Joiner reports the commencement of a major battle between the forces of darkness and the servants of the Almighty. In 22.3, Joiner reports that there were many more Christians being used by the Evil One than in the army of Yah. This is a really important observation in terms of the basic theme of this article. A large proportion of those who consider themselves believers are not serving the Almighty at present. The problem was severe in 1995 when the vision was given. It has become considerably more severe since then. Later in the visions, Joiner sees increasing numbers of people realizing they've been deceived and changing sides. This article is presented to assist people to do this. But frankly, I have to say to you that what Joiner saw in his vision has yet to happen. The vast majority of people are staying in deception, and in fact, more and more people are sinking into deception. In 23.1, Joiner reports that the majority of the soldiers in the army of Yah were women and children. Again, this is an important observation in terms of the body of believers at present. Many of the adult men who appear to be serving the Almighty are not doing so in a place of submission to the Almighty. This is particularly noticeable if you look at some of the violence and really appalling behavior of both Christian and Muslim men, frankly. This suggests also that all of us who are men should check out very prayerfully where we stand with the Almighty. It's very easy to be arrogant and have some limited Bible knowledge and think you're an outstanding believer, but this vision suggests otherwise. This observation should also be considered in the light of Isaiah 4:1-5. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, "We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach." In that day shall the branch of Yah, the eternally self-existing, be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called Kodesh, you might know that as holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When Yah shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And Yah the eternally self-existing will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For before upon all the glory shall be a defense. Now this is speaking to specifically to the so-called remnant, that is the small number of true believers in this age, and is saying that among the true believers in this age, there will be seven times more women than men. Really important to understand. I've spoken about this briefly on a few other occasions, but if you're a believing woman and you're married to an unbeliever, you need to get divorced. If you're a believing woman and you don't have a man, you are advised to come to terms with the fact that you're probably not going to find a suitable man. So as I said, this passage is speaking about the end of the age when the Almighty shall cleanse the body of believers by fire. It is my understanding that this period has now commenced. The Almighty has also indicated that verse 1 indicates that in these days there will be seven times as many women as men in the body of true believers. That is, believers as judged by the Almighty, not as we judge it. He's also shown me that many of these women are in spiritually desperate circumstances and desperately need the covering of a man who fears Yah. There are not nearly enough of such men to go around, and most of the men who fall into this category do not understand their responsibilities. I've also found that it's psychologically, emotionally, and socially impossible for most women raised under monogamy to share a man. So the vast majority of believing women must either remain single and celibate or marry unbelievers, which Yah forbids. If you look on the website, you'll find a menu item called Single Woman Believers, Seven Times Men. You might want to read that. This is a really, really difficult situation, folks. If you go to any assembly that is truly anointed of true believers, you will find many, many times more women than men. You'll find a lot of women married to unbelieving men desperately trying to get them so-called saved when they actually have no hope of success. You find single women desperately looking for a man and just unable to find one and thinking there's something wrong with them. It's really, really difficult. It's really important to understand that there simply are not that many believing men around. The final quest goes on to discuss the armor. In 22:4, Joyner also reports that very few of those in the army of Yah had on all their armor, and those that did had very small shields. That speaks to faith or emunah. In 23:1, he reports that few of those who were fully armed were adequately trained to use their arms. This is a reference to Ephesians 6:10-18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in Yah, the Eternal, self-existing, and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of Yah, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of Yah, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of emunah, whereby ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yah. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Saints is a word for anointed believers. I've recently added to the above, cloak yourself with a mantle of humility, as indicated by the visions of Joyner. It's really important to pray regularly for guidance to walk in the fullness of what this passage represents. And if you go back a month or two in this program, you'll find that I've given you prayers relating to this. It is also important to realize that components of the armor can be lost or damaged. This is what the metaphor tells us and is confirmed in the final quest. see the menu item on the webpage Demonic Masterminds Direct to better understand the forces of darkness against which the battle is directed. It's important to realize that each of these elements of the so-called armor relate to important spiritual principles and important spiritual disciplines. So faith, emunah, salvation, understanding of the message of salvation, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of Yah, which is actually the Ten Commandments fundamentally. In order to be protected by this armor, it is important that you understand each of the elements, that you apply each of the elements, that you are well steeped in each of the elements. So you need to understand salvation. You need to understand and walk in emunah, faith. You need to understand the commandments and comply with the commandments. You need to understand the good news, the gospel of peace, and you need to walk in that, and so on. The helmet of salvation I've spoken about. It's so important, folks, that you take time to develop your understanding and you pray into this. Pray the prayer that I've given previously to ask Father to help you to walk in the fullness of his armor. That will protect you. In 33:2, Joyner reports an incident in which the Spirit of the Almighty, embodied in the vision as wisdom, one of the seven spirits of the Almighty, prevents Joyner from falling off the mountain of Yah and reminds Joyner of 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." The final quest offers a number of references to this verse in the context that when we become confident of our place with the Almighty or have a major victory, we are most likely to fall. The visions and metaphors in the book also indicate that such a fall can be dramatic and catastrophic. For example, it is indicated that pride can result in a person who's won a mighty victory for the Almighty being taken prisoner by the enemy immediately thereafter. Pages 34 and 35 make particular reference to the Father's unconditional love. This ties in with the passages cited previously in terms of walking in unconditional love. This is extremely important and extremely challenging. As I've walked this road with Father, and he's shown me how so many of the great men and women of the 90s and the early 2000s in the Christian tradition have fallen away. And so much of it is because of this thing. They think they stand and therefore they fall. When you become proud of what Yah has done in your life, if you become proud of what you know about him or what you think you know about him, you're probably going to fall, and you're probably going to fall hard. And the worst thing about it is, from what I can see, most people, when they do fall, don't even know that they've fallen. They fall into strong delusion and they carry on thinking that they're still right with Father. And that speaks to pride. Page 45, reference is made to the third heaven. And it is stated that it is wisdom to seek to know about the third heaven. It is also stated that there is much more to learn than can be learned in this life. This entire message, my entire message, is essentially about what is required in order to be an overcomer in the era of the third heaven, with some reference to what that looks like. Pages 46 and 47 make particular reference to knowing both the love and the severity of the Almighty, where his severity is represented by his judgments. We're advised to fear the judgments of the Almighty as well as knowing his love. In various parts of the final quest, reference is made to humility. It is repeatedly indicated that humility is not something that appeals to human beings, and that we are prone to pride. It is also indicated that without humility, it is not possible to understand much about the Almighty and His kingdom. It is also not possible to see clearly in the spiritual realm without humility. Pride blinds our spiritual eyes and blocks our spiritual ears. From this information, it appears to be really important to pray something like, Father, please humble me and cleanse me of all pride, self-righteousness, and all other forms of self. And 53 is pointed out that the armor of Yah, set out above, does not cover the back. So turning and running from the enemy in fear opens one up to defeat just as much as advancing into the enemy ranks with no protection of our backs, i.e. in pride, opens one up to defeat. We are created to work together in teams. Yahshua sent his followers out in twos precisely for this reason, so that each could cover the back of the other. This is one reason why a divided house cannot stand, as stated in Matthew 12:25. And Yahshua, you may know him as Jesus, knew their thoughts and said unto him, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. This is a major reason why strife between husband and wife or wives is so spiritually damaging, and why submission of wives is so important. If a wife is arguing with her husband, how can she cover his back, and how can he cover hers? The alignment, harmony, whatever you want to call it, between a man and his woman, wife, is so important. This point also emphasizes it is a huge mistake for a woman who is in close relationship with Father to join herself to any man except one who is at least as close to Father as she is. If she joins herself to a man who is not as close to Father as she is, he will not understand her. He will not understand her relationship. He will get in the way of her relationship. And sooner or later, she's going to have to choose between Father or her man. Because most of the men are just not going to get there. It's just a sad reality. If the husband is advancing in pride or the wife is retreating in fear or vice versa, how can the house stand? The same observations apply to strife, pride, and fear in a business, strife, pride, and fear in a ministry, strife, pride, and fear in a nation, etc. This is why submission to leaders is so important. On page 54, it is illustrated that advancing in pride can open the door for strong delusion and doctrines of demons. The potential to fall at any time from any level is stressed. Page 55, we're advised to inquire of the Almighty before major decisions and to seek humility. Directional prayers, such as those suggested previously, prayed in sincerity and emunah, out of recognition of one's own fallibility, are absolutely vital. I just want to come back for a moment to the question of humility. This book, these visions, and we'll touch on it again, just really show how severely pride gets in the way of our relationship with Father, our service to Father. It's so important to pray prayers like, Father, humble me when I get into pride. Judge me if I get into pride. Correct me if I get into pride. And watch out for it yourself. Check your motives. Check what's going on for you. It's so difficult to really walk with Father if you're in pride. Continuing with the armor, 55:5, it is stated that Yah is closer to the homeless than to kings, that we only have true strength to the extent that we walk in the grace of Yah, because the Almighty gives His grace to the humble. So important. This is a reference to 1 Peter 5:5, quoted below in the context of 1 Peter 5:1-11. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of the Anointed One, you might know that as Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of Yah which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over Yah's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, for all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For Yah resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yah, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Say again, be clothed with humility, for Yah resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yah, that He may exalt you in due time. Very, very important principle. Pray for it, seek it, do what you have to do to get it. That passage continues, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the mighty one of all grace, who hath called unto us his eternal glory by the anointing that was upon Yeshua, you may know that as Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 55:5, it is also stated that no evil weapon can penetrate the mantle of humility, because nothing can overpower the grace of the Almighty. This is an extremely important and challenging principle. The only way one can manage to walk in true humility is to ask the Almighty to humble one, to judge one, to correct one, to guide one, etc. I want to go back to the first verse that I just read in this section. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I've taught several times on judgment in this life and how this verse tells us that Satan can only attack us if he gets permission. And the only way he can get permission is if he finds sin in our lives. So the answer to all of this is to live above sin. And that is not made clear in this passage of the Bible that I've just quoted, which seems to suggest that people are going to go through affliction and there's nothing you can do about it. In my experience, there is something you can do about it. Live above sin. Deal with the sin in your life. Pray prayers like, Father, judge me severely and correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly. I've spoken about these things several times. You might like to go back on the website rather than looking elsewhere. There is a section with the radio broadcasts and with transcripts of the radio broadcasts, so you'll be more quickly able to find the prayers. Let's talk a bit about prophets. In 59:2, it is stated that only those who receive prophets as prophets can receive the prophet's reward or the benefits of the services of a prophet. In other words, those who judge the man or woman to determine if he or she is a prophet are likely to miss it from the start. It is advisable to rather hear a man or woman who claims to be a prophet and subsequently prayerfully decide what to do with what they say than to pass a judgment on them and reject them, no matter what one's understanding may say about him or her or his word. The reference to prophets in 59:2 is specifically in the context of receiving warnings of danger, error, etc. Only if we realize how far we are from the Almighty and how imperfect all of us, our brethren in the faith, are, can we choose to cease judging and rejecting others and let the Almighty speak to us, even through those who are imperfect. This may be vital to turn us away from strong delusion or other serious error. We may not like the message of the prophet, however, it may be critical in terms of where we spend eternity. This is so important. I've seen this numerous times where I've been sent to people with messages from Father, and because they don't know me or because they know something about me that they don't agree with, they've rejected the message, and frequently that has resulted them ending up in places of serious error, compounding the errors, things going seriously wrong, getting out of the will of Father. Talk a bit about motives. 63:2, Joiner states, "I now think that most of the right things I did for the wrong reasons, and many of the wrong things I did, I had good motives for. Since first reading this passage, I continue to see how true this is. It also creates great difficulty for others. They see us doing right things for wrong reasons and conclude that the Almighty did not speak to us or did not guide us, or that we were doing the wrong things. Conversely, where people see we have good motives, they conclude that what we're doing is good or right, even if it may be wrong. Our tendency to do these things and judge others and the actions of others is a major hindrance to us doing the will of the Almighty and leading others in the will of the Almighty." Folks, there's only one being who knows the truth about any situation, and that's Father. And He wants a deep relationship with you. So stop using your intellect to judge things and guide things, and get close enough to Him that you can hear His voice, that you can be led by His Spirit, and that you can do the right thing. There's absolutely no reason for you to rely on anybody else. You can follow my teachings insofar as that helps you to get close to Him. But at some point, you need to come to a place where you hear Him, where you do His will by His guiding, and not on the basis of me or any other human being. In 63:2, Joiner also states, "The more I learn, the more unsure of myself I feel." The prophet that is speaking to Joiner then advises him in 63:5 that what Joiner is experiencing is the true emunah, true faith. Joiner responds in 63:6 that he's referring to serious doubts. The prophet responds that it is wise to doubt yourself, and then goes on to state in 64:1 that true emunah depends on the Almighty, not yourself. In essence, I understand this to indicate that the more we move ahead in confidence, the more likely that we are to mess up at some point. Where we are constantly praying to Father, asking His guidance, asking Him to close and open doors, to guide in every way, etc., the more likely we are to do His will, at least to some extent. Note that such prayers are not a blank check to storm ahead and do whatever we feel led to do. We have the final say. We are ultimately accountable for all our words and deeds. This lack of self-confidence and total reliance on the Almighty may be misinterpreted by others in all sorts of ways. Again, it's another reason not to judge others. It's so important to realize that you don't know everything. It's so important to realize that only Father knows everything. It's so important to realize that other people may know more than you do in a particular situation. It's so important to move away from rambunctious pride and arrogance and self-confidence, and turn to Father and say, "Father, lead me in every possible way, every second, of every day. So to recap, we affirmed that we know so little of the things of the Almighty today. We looked at some challenging passages from the final quest, including we looked at the metaphoric vision of the battle from the final quest. We looked at the metaphor of the armor from the final quest. We looked at the importance of the mantle of humility. We looked at how we receive prophets, and we looked at how our motives are often corrupted. I would strongly encourage you to go back to the section in this broadcast about the armor, get a Bible, go online, read the passage in Ephesians 6 that refers to the armor, add the mantle of humility to the armor, pray to be given the armor, pray to learn to walk with the armor. Recognize that each of the elements of the armor, the truth, good news of peace, this helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, etc., are all speaking to bodies of spiritual understanding, to spiritual principles, to spiritual laws that we need to take on board, that we need to apply us to our lives. Realize that it's going to take time. It's going to take prayer. Pray daily. Father, help me to wear your armor. Father, help me to understand your armor. Father, help me to comply with your armor. Father, help me to apply your armor, and so forth. In wrapping up then, there are five key documents that are all main menu web pages on the website. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you near the bottom of the menu. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator, also near the bottom of the menu. Recommended worship, also near the bottom of the menu. Songs that are strongly recommended. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, at the top of the menu. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? Near the bottom of the menu. This broadcast is taken from that document. All of this available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and will be physically available soon. They're actually physically being printed right now. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org. to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer, or to give me feedback. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org, one word. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them in the next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I would really, really love to help you. If you're listening to these programs and you're saying, I want to get closer to Father, please don't hesitate to contact me. I would really love to help you. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. I want to reiterate something that I say pretty much every week. it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're young or old, whether you're male or female, whether you're educated or uneducated, what nation you're from, what race you are, what the color of your skin is, what the color of your hair is, what the color of your eyes are, it doesn't matter. Father wants to become your friend. He wants you to become his friend. He wants you to draw close to him. He will help you to draw close to him if you will just take a decision and start applying what I've taught in this program since October last year. There is so much to do. It's relatively straightforward. It's a huge opportunity to sit on a high throne for eternity. Thank you so much. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand, just because you love me. I know your favor. Yeah.